Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So hour three on a pain-free Friday, coast to coast. I'm Pharrell, along with Carver High in New York. Make sure you get the Sports Grid app on iOS or Android. It's incredible. It's free. You heard me. It's free. You can follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. And you can get everything, stories, highlights, videos, in-game odds, you name it. How about this? You can watch the network on the app and listen to the network on the app. Either or. They both come in perfectly in HD or on the radio. It's just unbelievable, the Sports Grid app. It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Make sure you catch us on X. You can watch Sports Grid live on X. Check it out. I think you'll dig it. As we get into hour three, I'm just waiting to see who the Yankees are going to beat in the ALCS tomorrow.
Yes, we are all waiting to see who the Yankees are going to get a chance to beat in the ALCS. Cleveland beat the Tigers 5-4 yesterday. That series is now tied at twos. They're going to play game five tomorrow. How did they get there? Back and forth last night in this game. Then in the top of the seventh, David Fry off the bench on Guardians Radio. Look out.
The 2-2 delivery. Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry! Off the bench, a two-strike, two-out, two-run home run. And Cleveland's back on top for the third time tonight, 4-3.
He drove in another run, too. He wasn't done there. The insurance run would pay off because that gave him the lead, and then they would need it because they won 5-4. David Fry with the night of his life, and no one's ever heard of him.
How about hitting a home run off the bench, pinch hit homer, and then what was a squeeze bunt he drove the other butt run in with the ninth. So great game for Fry. Tomorrow it will be Tarek Skubal going for the Tigers. He, of course, is their ace. Another good thing for the Yankees if the Tigers win. They have to burn Skubal here tomorrow in game number five. A.J. Hinch, Tigers will be ready to go tomorrow afternoon now.
Oh, we'll be ready. Yeah, there's going to be nothing better than these elimination games are incredible. You know, everything that that we've been playing for up to this point is now going to be on Saturday. So, our guys will be able to reset and we'll pack tonight. We'll get on a plane tomorrow. We'll go have a short workout and get the opportunity to do it on their turf. And I expect them to show up ready to play too. Why wouldn't these two teams come with everything they got on Saturday?
Yeah, and then the edge is Tarek Skubal. He is the best pitcher in the game, bar none. I think he is so magnificent it's not even funny. Now, a fourth, fifth, and sixth time through a batting order. He's already gone through them three times in the first start. He's going to go through them at least twice, at the very least twice, I think, on Saturday. If he goes through a third time, I start to seriously worry. I mean, these are major league hitters. This is like they, eventually figure it out, and eventually they see what they want to see, and they get the pitch. I mean, that's what Stanton did to the Royals. He got what he wanted, and he hit it out. And he's looking for it. He's you heard him. I'm laser-focused on getting my pitch, the one I can see and the one I want. That worries me about a guy that just keeps pitching again and again and again in terms of through the order. It's not that he's pitching in his second game, Mike. It's that he's going to see him for a fourth, fifth, and sixth time. And at some point, someone's going to rake one because he was in trouble in the first start against them. They had guys on the pond the entire game, and he kept getting out of it, and he was inviting. He was like, come on, go ahead and boo me. You can't score. He was as cocky as ever. So I am tripping a little bit about the nerves and the amount of times he's going to see him go through the order. It's a worry to me. It really is. But he's better than they are. He's better than Boyd, and he's better than the Guardians. He's the best pitcher in baseball. Will he step up tomorrow and prove it again? He's done it again and again and again and again. He is a horse, and he is a bull. I mean, this guy is huge, and he's strong as an ox. I mean, he reminds me of like a farmer pitcher. Remember, like, these guys come in 6'4", 240, and he can throw it like, I mean, he just brings it, and he's got six pitches. The guy's a freak.
He is a freak. 13 shutout innings so far in the postseason. He will get the ball. He is a -130 favorite. The Guardians at home are dogs, +110. It will be Matthew Boyd, who started against Skubal in game number two. Him pitch awful either. 4 2/3 of shutout ball against the Tigers. So Boyd and Skubal, remember, now an afternoon game. 1 o'clock East was going to be at night. Weather, MLB actually using their head for once, moves the game up to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you got a little day ball. Winner will face the Yankees Monday night in game one.
Look, I think that he's going to be a tough customer, but I think Boyd is equally tough. I think it's hard to lay that juice in this bet. I really do. I think the smarter bet is the Guardians at home. When he leaves that game in the seventh inning, 7, 8, 9 is when the Guardians have to win that game. They got to get to Detroit now. You know who they're going to throw, all these guys like our boy Bubby Brisky and all this other. They're going to throw Herter. Everyone they can, Herter. They're going to throw everyone they can for an out or two, maybe an inning. Maybe it's just an out. I think the Guardians have to win that game like the Mets do in the eighth and ninth inning. So 7, 8, 9 to me is when this game's going to be won. And I think that he has pitched, you know, shutout baseball, 13 innings of shutout baseball. He's tough to deal with. But so is Boyd. I'm with you on the under. And I think that the better bet is probably Cleveland at that price at home and getting it done in 7, 8, 9. I think Skubal will do his job. I think somebody else will screw it up.
All right. So you think Skubal pitches well, but then one of the great Detroit relievers finally gives it up for them late in the game. I think that the Tigers are going to win.
I think so. That
the Tigers will find a way. And here's where there will be a little bit of a disadvantage to them. Because they got to pitch Skubal tomorrow, I think he'll pitch very well. But then he'll only pitch once in the first six games, potentially, against the Yankees. That's it. So that will hurt them in the next round, not being able to throw him against the Yankees a couple of times. All right, we have a Game 5 tonight. National League side. See who's going to play the Mets on Sunday night. Game number one of the NLCS. Now, Roberts was playing all kinds of games yesterday. The Dodgers, made it official, 1 o'clock in the morning, that it's going to be Yamamoto. So forget Dave. I'm going to push by him because I want to get to Schilt before we go to the break. Our boy Bob Nightingale basically brought it. This is Bob talking to Schilt at the press conference yesterday saying, what do you think of the Dodgers, not telling you who's going to pitch, playing games with the lineup. They put Freeman in knowing he's not going to play and take him out. Mike Schilt doesn't seem to care very much about it.
Somebody's going to show up and we'll be ready for him. Yeah, I don't know. At some point they're going to have to announce it, I'm sure, but we're not in any real hurry, quite honestly.
Is there gamemanship involved? It was yesterday they knew that Freddie Freeman wasn't going to play. He was well at breakfast, but then they put out a different lineup.
Yeah, I don't, everybody operates their own club the way they operate it. I don't, we're more like Vince Lombardi power sweep. Here it is. Here's Hugh Darvish is going to start. Here's our lineup. My lineup was pretty good for 10 runs, 6 runs. 5 runs. This is who we are, and we're going to compete and execute. We do that, we'll shake hands and pop champagne.
Like Vince Lombardi. Oh, here's the power sweep. Here, it's coming. You got to stop
it. Oh, the stress of it all. I hate the Dodgers. God, please.
I Lord, know you
Breyer,
do.
Breyer, please. Lord,
I'll give you the numbers when we come back.
I swear I'll stop swearing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, give me the numbers for this game tonight at Dodger Stadium.
As of right now, Dodgers minus 145.
Jesus.
Padres plus $1.20. 7.5 is the total. Yamamoto and Darvish. This is, by the way, first ever playoff start with two Japanese-born pitchers. So you have that cooking as well. Some of the numbers for you as well here. Padres against Yamamoto. Tatis, 3-for-3. No homers. Machado, 2-for-4 with two homers off of him. Bogarts, 3-for-6 off of Yamamoto. So you got a few guys in the lineup who have hit him very well. On the other side, Muncy, 10-for-41, two homers off of Darvish. Freeman, 10-for-40 and three homers off of him. But honestly, Freeman's playing on one leg, so I wouldn't put too much stock in anything that he's doing. Ohtani, 1-for-8 against Darvish, so he has not seen him well.
Yeah. Look, give me the I mean, I just have to bet on the Padres. It's just that simple. Plus $1.22. And the three you gave me, Bogarts, Tatis, and Machado, all hit them. And so does Merrill, Jackson Merrill. Give me
Jackson Merrill.
My jacking home runs. And I'll take the over 7.5. There's going to be runs from both sides. They both scored too many runs, these teams.
I love the over tonight in this game. I'm with you. I think even though it's an elimination game and you think it's going to be played a little bit tighter to the vest, I think we've seen enough runs in this series to feel confident that we can get this over. I don't think Yamamoto is going to be out there long. I know he's the starter.
Whatever.
I would be stunned if he goes more than two or three innings. I bet you he only goes through the lineup once. And then Roberts is going to get the Brassiers and the Vesalas and all these other guys who pitched very well in game four. He's going to get them in there. So that's how I think the Dodgers are going to play it tonight, Scotty. I'm with you. Friar faithful tonight at Chavez Ravine to go up. And I have Tatis has been too good to me. I will be playing Tatis tonight, that's for sure, in that game. Yes, absolutely. So there you go. Lots of baseball tonight. They did put the schedule out for the first few days of the championship series. It's honestly very simple. NLCS game one is Sunday night at whoever wins tonight. Mets will be in California no matter what. Game two will be Monday afternoon at 4:00 East. So during Coast to Coast, we will have game two of the NLCS going on here with us. I think about 4:30 actually, first pitch. And then game one, Yankees against tomorrow's winner, Monday night at the stadium in the Boogie Down for the Bronx. They will have that going. So that's the first couple days of the championship series that we will have rocking for us.
That is just delicious. So why don't we switch to college football now and start off with our boy Rich Sermonello.
Hey, Scotty, week six in college football in the books. Just incredible. Shake up Saturday. 5 of the top 11 schools go down. Obviously, Vanderbilt, a stunning win over Alabama. The big takeaway for me, Scott, is you can forget about rebuilding in college football any longer. I don't think it's going to be permitted as if it's not tough enough already for college coaches to win as fast as possible. Look at what Vandy did with Diego Pavia. This is a kid who wasn't even involved in spring football. Transfer from New Mexico State, kid from the state of New Mexico, didn't get offers out of high school, had to go the JUCO route, played for the Aggies in Las Cruces. Comes in the summer and basically just takes this entire program over. I mean, this is a Johnny Manziel type of an effect, Tim Tebow kind of effect. I thought he was spectacular. And now for other programs, they can look for similar type of players. Your school, Indiana, they go to the MAC, Ohio. They get Curtis Rourke. They get a new coach from James Madison and Kurt Cignetti. Now they're 6-0 for the first time since you and I were in diapers in the late 1960s. Just remarkable. I think that's going to be the blueprint for other programs. Scott, it also makes me think about Michigan. I mean, there's some coaching malpractice going on there. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that other programs can pluck out of the portal. What the heck was Michigan doing? I mean, they knew that J.J. McCarthy was headed to the NFL. You knew what you had on the roster. Alex Orji, Davis Warren, Jack Tuttle. None of these guys are legit college quarterbacks in the Big Ten. They get nothing out of the portal. Now they're 130th in the country. They lose over the weekend to Washington. They're completely out of the playoff picture. Now, let's head down to College Station at Texas A&M. You could see the Mike Elko effect taking place. 5-1, five straight wins. You know, Vandy obviously dominated the headlines and should have. But what about Texas A&M and what they did to Missouri? Number 9, Mizzou. A&M absolutely picked them apart. I love what Elko was doing. And the rest of the schedule, yeah, there's LSU. I don't think it's a great LSU team, but A&M could have a one loss heading into that big Texas showdown to finish the regular season. Finally, week 7, the big one, Ohio State, Oregon. I love the Buckeyes in this game. And the reason why is not just all of the bright, shiny objects on offense, but this defense, Jim Knowles' defense, Scott, I think it's going to be the story of Week 7. People are underestimating just how good they are in the front seven. We haven't talked about Jack Sawyer, Caleb Downs on the back end. Ohio State's defense, this is not a great Oregon team. Watch the Buckeyes on D. I think they dominate. Double-digit win for Ohio State. That's what we'll be talking about next week.
Wow, Rich, the double-digit effect in Outson Stadium in Eugene. That might be tough to do. We'll see if they can pull it off. I like the Buckeyes as well, but I think the game's going to be better than that. We'll see. Last night, all of those favorites covered Carver High. James Madison rolled. Louisiana Tech rolled on their home field. And so did Western Kentucky. They spanked UTEP.
They certainly did. Yeah, big win for James Madison as well. Like you said, 39-7. They smashed Coastal in that game. Man, Rich dropping the hammer on the Ducks in Eugene. Rich just coming right in. Sledgehammer job with the Buckeyes this weekend. We will come back and start to get into all of it. We have three games tonight we have to talk about, and then all the big games on Saturday. I've got big games for you. Then I got three racks to get through of college games, so we have a lot to do.
Sounds awesome, and it starts tonight with good games when you really think about it, and then tomorrow's just going to be incredible from noon until when you pass out. So it's just a phenomenal Saturday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so there's actually five games tonight, but I don't think anyone cares about Harvard and Cornell unless you went there and Prairie View and Arkansas Pine Bluff. No thanks.
No, we pass on those. Those get chopped. They don't make it onto the rung, the Harvard game. I can't have Friday night Ivy under the lights. No, we have Northwestern and Maryland for us instead. We have the smart school. The other smart schools, they're not as smart as Harvard. Well, maybe some people at Northwestern think they are, but still, you get the smart schools in at night as well from the Big Ten. 10 and a hook for the Terps tonight at home with a 45.5 total. UNLV is going to Logan to see Utah State. Another fat number there. I got it at 19, actually, right at this second. And Utah into Tempe against Arizona State. Both these teams 4-1. And this spread has now moved as well. I got it at 6 now for the Utes on the road.
Yeah, I bet it at 5.5. I like the Utes to win that game in Tempe, and I think that it's going over. I think that Maryland win will go over, and they will cover the 10.5. Indiana punked Northwestern in Chicago. They put 41 on them. I think Maryland's going to put at least 30 on them, and I think they'll cover the number. And believe it or not, now I know a lot of people that sharps are playing Utah State, and I just don't believe in that. They stink. I'll believe that when I see it. Yeah. I think UNLV puts 50 on them and covers the number.
I just don't see how they – I know it's a big number, but, like, UNLV is going to – like you said, I think they're good for 45 to 55. Like, How's Utah State getting in the 20s or 30s to cover that number? I just don't see how they're going to be able to do that. I'm with you on the Rebs tonight in Logan. And I like Arizona State tonight, by the way, against Utah with the points. I think they're going to hang around in that game. I'm not
a believer in
Utah.
Slow down, son.
Let's go through some of the big ones. Of course, Texas and Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry, getting together at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. We'll start with Steve Sarkisian to get us going. He is going back to Quinn Ewers after Arch Manning played a few games with Ewers hurt. Here is Coach.
And I think Quinn has shown over his time that when he's been injured, he's engaged. He comes back and he plays really good football coming off of injury. And so this to me is another chance for him to go show that he can do that here moving forward.
Look, there's no denying he's a great quarterback, and I still think it's too many points. You know, it's one time I've seen them blow out Oklahoma, once, when they shut him out. Every other game is within like 7 points. Every game is great. It's always the same. 90% of the games are great. I just don't see him blowing them out. I don't even like Oklahoma. I don't even like their quarterback, but they hate each other's guts. Like, Oklahoma would just as soon be run over by a truck than lose to Texas. I mean, these guys will lose life and limb over this football game. I think they cover the number.
Here, I actually have it for you. You sent it to me and I saved it. These are like these last few games. I mean, look at this. It's as close as you can get. With some of them, right? 34-30, 55-48, 53-45, 34-27. I mean, these games are always very close. And you know what else they always are, too? And this is what I like the most in this game. They're always high scoring. I know Oklahoma's got problems. They got this kid freshman playing quarterback this week. I don't care. I think he can get me 20 or maybe in the mid-20s, high 20s, and help me out with this over. I think the total is light at 48.5. I think Texas could score maybe 30 on their own. I'm only going to need around 20 from Oklahoma. Over 48.5 for me, Scotty. I like the over.
Yeah, I would rather play that than risk the 14 and a hook with a freshman. But, I mean, this says to me, it screams to me that Texas is going to kill them. And they never kill them. They've killed them once in the last, like, 12 years. Once. So every game is good. I like that over, and I like the 14 and a hook. I think they got a shot here, and obviously the game's in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, the legendary stadium, so it should be awesome.
It's very scary.
I don't get into it as much as – I'll be honest with you. I don't get into that game, frankly, as much as I'll get into Ole Miss LSU is better, and I think that Ohio State Oregon's better.
It is, and we will come back and we will go through all of those other games on Saturday. Massive Saturday slate that we need to go through, including also Penn State heading west
to the
Coliseum against the Trojans here. Cause this line's moved a little bit down. Let's see what we got.
Penn State's going to go out there and kill them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah.
You can feel it,
there
right?
You go.
The Trojans, you can feel it. Feel it.
You can feel it. You can feel it as Penn State 5-0 and now ranked number 4 in the country heads west.
They're ripe.
To the Coliseum to see the Trojans.
How could they
possibly beat Penn State? I mean, they just lost to Minnesota last week. I mean, there's no way. USC's got no shot in this game, right? I mean, no shot against the mighty James Franklin. And the Nittany Lions, 3.5 is the number. It was 5.5 earlier in the week, so it's gone down a little bit. Totals at 50.5. I think I've made it pretty clear already. I like the Trojans, Scotty. Outright.
Outright.
Against Penn State. Outright.
Outright.
Outright win.
Outright. Outright. They go west, and they find out how brutal it is in Lipstick City at the Coliseum. USC ripe off a loss. and they've looked terrible, and it's about time they get it straight. I think Penn State, we heard how wonderful they are. I covered last week 28.5 with UCLA against them. And I look, seriously, I think they could barely beat UCLA at the Rose Bowl, let alone at home, which they barely beat them. I'll give you this. They're 5-0, whatever. They're unbeaten. I say they lose as well to USC. Let's go.
The Gators are heading to Knoxville to see Tennessee. Big rivalry here over on Rocky Top. The Vols right now minus 14.5. Another huge number in a rivalry game. 56.5. The total's actually down a number from this morning. We got 57.5 up there. Tennessee coming off the loss to Arkansas, Scotty. I'm kind of attacking this one the same way I am the Oklahoma-Texas game. I think Tennessee is going to score a lot of points. I think Florida's defense is awful. I think Florida will also be able to score a little bit. I like the over in that game, too.
Yeah, I think Tennessee gets straight here, coming off the loss, the brutal performance in Fayetteville. I think they probably had a rough week of practice, and they're going to take it out on the Gators. I think they win by 20 in Knoxville. They usually turn it up at home, and I agree with Rich. They go vertical. Heupel goes vertical in this game and beats Florida.
Indeed. Ole Miss heading to Baton Rouge to see LSU. This is under the lights. Of course, always very dangerous in Tiger Stadium when they put the lights on. Ole Miss, though, is the favorite here on the road. 3.5. 62.5 is the total. They played a wild game in Oxford last year. I believe off the top of my head it was 51-48 or something like that. So a crazy game where the Rebels beat them. Will LSU return the favor here? Brian Kelly 6-0 at home under the lights in LSU.
Yeah, it's just a brutal place to play under the lights in Death Valley. I like LSU to hand Lane Kiffin a second loss in the SEC, which will put their playoff hopes in serious jeopardy.
I don't like Brian Kelly. I don't like LSU. I'm not going to say I don't like you either. I obviously like you, but I'm going to go with Ole Miss, believe it or not.
Whoa.
Under the lights. That's right. I'm going after them. I'm going after them on Saturday night. Let's get it. All right, the main event also on Saturday night is in Eugene. Ohio State makes the trip to Oregon to see the Ducks. We will start this one off with Ryan Day. Of course, these games are huge now. Both teams in the Big Ten. Lots of playoff implications on the line.
Well, I think it's great because you get to control your own destiny because you're playing the best teams in the league on our schedule, and so that part's great. You know, every time you're playing one of these teams, you're fighting for an opportunity to go to Indianapolis, and that's important. So there's that part of it. Then there's obviously the playoff scenario. So a lot at stake this weekend, which is exactly the way we want it.
Yeah, I think this team, and I absolutely loathe them. One of my good friends, a huge Ohio State fan, I loathe him as well. No, I think that Ohio State plays for the national championship. That's how good they are. They're so deep. They're so talented, so fast, so five-star. I think they go to Outson and win, and I think they keep winning, and they're going to be in that playoff as sure as I'm sitting here. And I won't be surprised at all if they're in the last two standing.
Now, I've seen some threes in some places. I've seen some 3.5s in some other places, 54.5 the total. I think Ohio State's going to win too, but will it be a close game where that hook's going to come into play, or will it be a smash job like Rich was talking about before?
Yeah, I think it's more of a tutty game for Ohio State. I think they win the game by 7, but what do I know? Seriously, like, I have no clue what the score of the game's going to be. Like, this is the same thing that we do all the time, all these totals. Predicting the scores of games, I mean, what's next? The Powerball? I'm going to pick that, too? Is that what I'm going to do next? Wrong. I think they win the game. I think they cover. That's all I know.
Here's the rest of the racks that we are going to have
here.
Alabama off the embarrassing loss to Vanderbilt. Back at home against South Carolina, laying just over 3 tutties. Clemson visits Wake Forest, also just under 3 tutty spread for them in Winston-Salem. Pittsburgh undefeated, 5-0, now ranked, laying 3.5 at home against Cal. BYU laying now 3.5, was 5.5 early in the week, now 3.5 at home against Arizona. And Georgia, big fat number, 33.5 at home against Mississippi State.
Well, they'll win at Sanford Stadium. They'll get every call, and they'll. I want no part of laying that kind of wood. But I'm gonna do it in Provo. I think 5.5 to 3.5. You got to be kidding me. They're gonna beat Arizona. They're gonna beat anyone they play in Provo. This is a really good team. Pitt's gonna cover against Cal. Pitt's been covering every single game they play, and they got it done in Chapel Hill. They'll get it done in the Steel City. These other two are blowouts. Clemson's going to Winston-Salem. They're going to rack the Deacons. And Alabama is going to put a thumping on South Carolina like nobody's business. They went and lost at Vanderbilt, and they're going to come home. They haven't fed them. They didn't eat, not one meal the whole week. And they said, you're not eating. So you either go out and win by 50 or you're not eating. They're going to win that game by 50 points.
You'd like to think that there's got to be a little bit of, you know, little jump back from them, especially after the way they played
against
them. Now, if you're DeBoer, you got to be getting it in their head all week. This is another inferior opponent. We need to now blow them out and show a little something there. And that Cal team's been spunky, Scotty. That's the Cal's a little nervous for me with the 3.5 going in there to Pitt. At the place the Steelers play. It is a long road trip for them, but Cal's been hanging around these numbers every single week, so I'd
hang
be careful
this,
with that
Panthers,
one.
Hang this. Panthers get it done. Big by 10.
Panthers going to 6-0. How about the Panthers and Indiana both being 6-0 after this week? There you go. Indiana off this week, by the way. They'll be back next week for us to win more money on, because that's all
against
that we've
Nebraska,
done with Indiana this
gonna
year.
They're going to beat their ass, too.
From your lips to God's ears. All right. There's no way I'll get through an entire rack in 1 minute, so we will come back, and I will give you the last couple of racks, and then I even have some hockey for you. I got some basketball
Everybody
notes.
Hockey,
I have a few other things. Notre Dame on the next rack. Man, I remember the last time they played Stanford at home. That didn't go very well for Marcus Freeman. Hopefully he's able to cover a fat number against them after a week off.
Next,
I'm nervous when the Irish play bad teams. I'm nervous when the Irish play inferior competition in South Bend. There's always some uneasiness with that.
It's mid-October. The leaves are gold. Touchdown Jesus, the smell of bratwurst and cold beer on a Saturday in South Bend at Notre Dame Stadium. It is unmatched and unequaled anywhere. The Irish will roll at home with the smell of the football foliage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know it's happening in South Bend. They're going to beat Stanford's ass like everybody else does.
It's a very big number, and I don't like Notre Dame with very big numbers. Right now, 23.5. For the Irish at home against the Tree. Kentucky, 12.5-point favorites over Vanderbilt, who are coming off. Man, have they stopped drinking yet after that win? We're not sure. -1.5 over for Iowa State in Morgantown. Very tricky. Late night, Kansas State in Boulder against Colorado, laying 3.5. And Boise State and the Kid, Jetney, -20.5 in the Islands. Tricky late night across the pond.
There is nothing tricky about it. Jenny and the Broncos roll at Hawaii on the Big Island. I like K-State as well in Boulder to get it done by a tutty or more. I think West Virginia upsets Iowa State. I know it sounds impossible, but they are going to be absolutely hammered drunk at this game in Morgantown. Anything is possible. Vandy and Kentucky. Great game. I like the under. I think Vandy covers the number. And Notre Dame probably won't cover that huge piece. It's just too big. They screw with everybody.
I got to smash
them. I didn't know it was that big. Notre Dame wins by 20. They won't cover 24.
Probably not. By the way, I think 2 years ago, West Virginia was dog at home to Iowa State, and they beat them. They usually play Iowa State very well in Morgantown. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on with that. All right, last rack for you. Missouri, after getting smashed at Texas A&M last week, what a trip for them. They get to go to UMass. Yes, UMass. And they're laying 4 tutties, 27.5. Washington into Iowa. Iowa minus 2.5. Rutgers laying 2.5 at home against Wisconsin. Illinois laying 22.5 against Purdue. And Syracuse is a road favorite in Raleigh against NC State.
I mean, I think they can win in Raleigh. I actually do. I saw them win in Vegas. I think Illinois will absolutely demolish Purdue because everybody does. I love the Illini in Champaign. Rutgers at home, Shiano, to knock off Wisconsin. Why not? Wisconsin's got one cover, and it was last week against Purdue. Like I said, everybody beats the Boilers. I think Washington goes to Kinnick in Iowa City and wins outright over Iowa, and Missouri's going to beat UMass by 40.
Yeah, that's one that I actually like. Laying 4 tutties in that game, if Missouri's actually serious about themselves, and you'd think, like, we were talking about Alabama, a little bounce back
right
after getting embarrassed, that should be the place. In Amherst, by the way. Big football weekend in Amherst.
Whatever.
For UMass and Missouri. Last thing on college football, because you sent this to me this morning. According to people who think they know computers, in terms of the college football playoff, 91% Texas makes the college football playoff. The highest ones, I know there's a lot of teams on there. Texas, Ohio State, Miami, 75%. Georgia, 74%. I'll go down the list a little. Indiana, 51% that they can make the college football playoff. Yes. Hey, I already told you. I think they're going to be undefeated going into the Ohio State game in late November. And if that's their only loss, and everyone talks about how the Big Ten should get 3, maybe 4 teams in,
right,
why not Indiana as a one-loss team in the Big Ten if they went 11-1 this year?
I would love
Indiana
to see that.
Football.
That would be unbelievable. They'll do better than the basketball team does.
I know, the basketball team, they let you down, the basketball team. They're just amazing.
They always let
amazing.
Me down. Since 87,
back,
they've been letting me down.
They're coming back.
Even 2002 when they lost to Maryland in the championship, let me down.
Woody's got them going in the right direction. They're gonna be back. Don't worry.
No, he doesn't.
It's all happening for them. There you go. Big college football weekend. Everybody is very excited for it. I know that I am. How about some hockey?
Everybody loves hockey.
Now, there was a lot of games last night. I just wanted to give you a couple notes from those games. Number one, Macklin Celebrini, the number one overall pick in the draft for San Jose, scores in his first NHL game, his debut for San Jose. It wasn't a pretty one, but it still counts. So Celebrini on the board. I think he joined Matthews, Ovi, Tavares, recent number one overall picks to score in their first NHL game. So nice job by the kid. The other one, and I meant to say this to you before the first Penguin game. If Beauvillier is going to play with Crosby on his line, Beauvillier is going to score a lot of goals. Beauvillier has talent. He just hasn't been put really in the right situations the
right.
last couple of years. He's been on some bad teams. You put anyone with Crosby. I mean, look at how much money Crosby made, guys like Kunitz and all these other guys.
Yeah.
Beauvillier going to fill it up if he's going to go be out there with Crosby every night.
He had a couple last night. I couldn't believe they won in Detroit after getting spanked 6-0 by the Rangers.
Only 4 games tonight in hockey. Tampa is in Carolina against the Hurricanes. Chicago is in Forelopeg against the Jets. The Flyers are in Vancouver against the Canucks. And the Blues,
Shock.
Off the win in Seattle, go to Vegas to see the
Shock.
Knights on the Strip.
Chalk all
Chalk.
Of them. I think Carolina will rack up Tampa. The Jets are going to beat the Hawks. As sure as I'm sitting here, Vancouver blew it against Calgary. They're going to take it out on Philly. And Vegas is going to cover puck line against the Blues. The Blues have been on the road, it seems like, for a week. and playing all these games. They played in overtime last night in San Jose. They won that game at the tank in overtime, and now you got to play in Vegas at the T-Mobile. They're dead meat tonight. I think they lose by two or more.
I like the Flyers tonight, actually. They're the only team. They haven't played yet. They're starting out on the Western Canada trip to start their season. I kind of like them as a dog in Vancouver against the Canucks. Right. So we'll come back, and I'll give you lots of leftovers today. We have several things.
The Liberty looked great last night against the Lynx, blowing that 18-point lead and losing again. They've never won a game one of an NBA Finals. They're in trouble against this Lynx team.
Nice of Brianna Stewart to take advantage of that gift they gave her with with a second left in the game, missing that free throw. Oh, my goodness.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We were just speaking poorly about people that we used to like, and we don't anymore. And it felt good, actually. It's time for Leftovers with Carver High, everyone's favorite segment.
Yes. Last night was game one of the WNBA Finals. The Lynx rallied from 15 down. I think that was with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, right? Weren't they down 15 with like 5 or 6 minutes left to go in the game? They beat the Liberty 95-93. Interesting referee calls in the final seconds of that game. But either way, the Lynx take a 1-0 series lead. Liberty are now 0-6 in game ones of the WNBA Finals. That is not
win.
Good for them.
They never win the finals.
They never win in the finals. The WNBA also announced a new playoff format. The first round is now going to be 1-1-1. Remember this year, it was 2-1. The higher seed got the first two games at home. And if the lower seed won, then they'd get a home game. They're changing now to make sure everybody gets a home game. I guess that one we can contribute to Clark as well. Wants to make sure everybody gets a game in their building. We have to do that. The finals will now also be best of seven, not best of five like they are this year. Regular season will increase to 44 games. God, I thought they already played like 70. They're only going to 44. It seemed like they played 70 games this year. It went on forever. Kyrie Irving wants to play on the 2028 United States Olympic team in Los Angeles. Of course, he was not on the team this year when they won in Paris, but Kyrie does want to be there in L.A. We shall see. I also saw him saying the story, Scotty, if he's healthy. So, I mean,
I don't care. Like, I can barely get through tonight, let alone like 4 years from now. Making predictions.
4 years from now.
4 years.
4 years from now.
4 years. He could be a mailman in 4 years.
It's very possible. Adam Silver says that he thinks the NBA will play games in China again. In China again. Well, isn't that nice that he's going to get himself back involved?
I think we have better odds of going to war with China.
We would have to check the book with that. The twin sons of Carlos Boozer, Cameron and Caden, have both officially committed to Duke. Now, one of them, I don't know which is which, one of them is the second-ranked prospect in the country. The other one is the 21st.
Cam's the 2, Cam's the 17.
Yes, so they have two. Listen, so the Booze, he went to Duke. You knew his kids were going to go. Come on.
Right.
You knew that the Boozer kids were both going to end up at Duke. I will bet you the one who gets the less juice will transfer out and go his own way within a year or two. He'll go his own way.
I never liked you. Get lost.
Get him out of here. Mike Tyson doesn't expect Jake Paul fight to go the distance. I don't think any of us expect the fight to happen at all. So
Mike Tyson can't take a punch anymore. Remember his last few fights. He's brain dead.
They can't really be still having that fight, are they?
They are in November. Yeah, it's like November 15th.
Conor McGregor, like, why do we? This is the
Here
same
we
story. We've done this story
so funny.
Five times in the last year. McGregor wants to fight Chandler, Diaz, or Poirier. My question is, will he ever fight anyone?
No.
Will he ever fight anyone again? What are we doing here? Like, honestly, enough. Athlete abuse, apparently, according to that story we did the other day, spikes at March Madness time. And it specifically targets women. So, as we said the other day, morons going after college kids because their bets lose is basically what that is.
That's Very possible.
Yeah. Very, not very, it's happening.
South Carolina husband strangled his wife, dumped her body in the woods with help from his roommates before joining the search party to look for her. Can you imagine? Hey, fellas, can you help me, dump my wife's body out in the woods? And can you imagine a guy getting off at a sofa and helping? Can you imagine that scene? Like, here, let me grab a beer really quick, Phil.
Like, if they're, hey, guys, check over here. I think I got something over here. What is happening in the world?
Couple
honestly
took 31 trips to Disney World after stealing $500,000 from the government. That is a strong effort in my book, Carver High. They stole all the money from the feds and went to Disney 30 times?
I'm not going to lie. I thought they would have only been able to go 10 times with $500,000. I'm surprised they were able to squeeze these 31 trips out of that.
You'd run out of money down at the Disney park. I mean, it's unbelievable. 51-year-old Texas teacher caught having sex with a student after cops called for suspicious activity in a home under construction. She was tapping a kid in a house that was being built, you know, with no walls yet and everything. GTD is next. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. Enjoy the kick-ass weekend of college and pro football. We'll see you again Monday at 3 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast.